It's time to know your lane.
You said get out of here for the final segment, and then you disappeared. You would have left Noodles on his own for like the final segment.
I would have been fine. I would have just thrown out the three stars. I don't know if I would have done anything else. I probably would have been Garth.
I'm having a good time. Not.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
You remember growing up, your mom and dad would have like little sayings, whatever they might be. One of my mom's was, every time it rained, she would say, "We needed that rain." Well, guess what, Mom? Not today. Not today do we need this rain.
Why would we ever need rain in Ontario? Like, it's not like we've ever dealt with a drought or...
It always just seemed to happen when it was really hot, and then you get rain. We needed that rain.
Well, I could see that, too. Like, I don't know, is your mom into gardening and all that kind of stuff? See, that's a big part of the program, right? You need the rain every once in a while, and it can boost the metabolism of all the plants and all that kind of stuff. But I'm never in a position where I ever need rain. Like, it's the one thing in my life I could say, if I never experienced rain ever again, I wouldn't care at all.
I agree. It's like, and I'll tell you what, we're pretty good at couching. Experts, some might call us. When it rains, right to it. I just get so lazy, I can't move.
I get in the worst mood all the time.
It makes you miserable?
Well, this is how stupid I am. So I was out this morning and I was running around, and we park in the garage a lot of times. Like overnight or whatever, we still have room because we've only got the one kid and we haven't built up enough of her stuff to the point where we need to use the garage for like hockey nets or whatever, you know what I mean? So we still park inside the garage. So I went out this morning and I came back and I thought ahead. I'm like, okay, before I leave for work, don't park outside. I know it's going to rain. So I parked in the garage. But because recently I've been going out and leaving my car outside, I went out the front door. Long story short, I get out there, it's pouring, I'm soaked, and I realize the car is in the garage. So I have to open the garage. Anyway, I'm an idiot because I could have avoided actually being wet and being miserable. And then
I'll tell you what, there's all kinds of problems. There's been talk that Center Island's in rough shape to begin with.
Big time. It's not going to open until the end of June at the earliest, is my understanding. Like when Tory's over there doing tours and they're really freaking out, like it's a big, big issue because it's been raining nonstop for like 2 months.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Golf courses must be just taking an ass-whooping.
Well, who wants to golf in this?
You know who is putting on a clinic, though, in bars and pubs? If you're any kind of, like, roofer or guy like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what the move is? One drop of rain? Ninja dust.
But if you're not on contract, it hurts, right? Because if you get paid by the hour or paid by the day... Raining every once in a while is a very good thing. It's an off day. But if it rains too much, man, that can really affect your life. You know?
I'm just saying. I grabbed a late lunch myself, and there was a lot of mustaches and such at the restaurant.
Someone texting in quickly asking if the Overdrive boys have seen the video of Trump today. Yes, we've seen it.
Are you referring to the one where he buds in front of the guy?
Yes.
Who does that?
I don't know. The leader of Montenegro, like, because it was a NATO meeting, right? So all these leaders of NATO are all together. I think Trudeau was over there. And I guess they were getting ready to take a picture, and Trump slaps this guy out of the way. Like, he slaps his shoulder in a way that is so obnoxious and so arrogant and so overly aggressive and unnecessary. And then he's up in the front of the line, and he gets his picture, and I guess he was happy about it, but... This trip that he has taken over to Europe has been a godsend for material, for vines, for gifts. Like the picture with the Pope the other day, I still can't stop looking at that thing.
He is something else, man.
What is going on with this guy? But if you haven't seen this, get on Twitter, get on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. You'll find it because he's trying to get to the front of the line and he pulls like a wrestling move on this other world leader that was so unnecessary.
It's like a at the NHL GM meetings. Imagine if, like, Jimmy Rutherford just slapped Poile out of the way and was like, watch out.
Mm-hmm.
Penn's coming through.
Why would you even have to do that? Like, there's no explanation for why you couldn't have just delicately asked the guy to move aside or walk around him like a normal person. Anyway, Craig's in here. What's happening, Craig?
Not much. Bus accident out in McAllen.
Oh, isn't that something else?
Oh, did you? Oh, just unbelievable.
It's just a circus. McAllen is an animal that is just untamed. Anytime in the afternoon, it's just it's a gong show. I hate it.
Couldn't get off the highway for 15 minutes, but you can't turn anywhere, right?
Right.
And then, you know, obviously people are going slow, and then they have the lights. So it was a nice 35-minute wait.
I was just saying to Brian, my mom had a classic line when I was a kid. She would always say, we needed that rain. We don't need this rain. This is ridiculous. I've had enough.
Mm-hmm. I'm done.
It really is unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm done.
It really
is. It's been awful weather. It really has.
And I just figured out one place I'm never moving to. Guess where that is?
Ottawa.
Vancouver.
Oh, no, Ottawa. You're a hero in Ottawa.
But think about living in Vancouver where this is going on like every day.
It's really depressing.
Jeff, at the World Junior Tournament in 2006 or 2000, whatever, it was the one in Vancouver. It was Christmas, right? So we went there, and my wife came and my daughters came with me. It rained every single day, like every minute, the entire tournament. Do you know how, like, you're going like at Christmas, winter.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful.
You're not prepared for that. Well, like, if it snows every day, you're fine.
Yeah.
Because you're like, this is what Christmas is supposed to be all about. I'm cool with that. Snow I can take. I said this before you came in. If you told me I can avoid rain for the rest of my life, I would sign up in a heartbeat. There's never a time in my life where I'm like, I could use some rain. You know, like, this is great. This is a fun experience. Or I can allow my kid to go outside and jump around in puddles while it's raining. Never once ever am I sitting there saying, I need rain. Now, I understand that there are other issues, like if you have a drought and wildfires and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just talking about my personal life. Snow, I like. I'm okay with snow.
Yeah, we all are.
You're a snowboarder. Craig, you get out there and ski. I ski every once in a while. I'm cool
with
snow.
Thank you for that, pal. That felt good.
That you're a snowboarder?
Yeah. To be officially called a snowboarder?
You hit your number, man. You went over the number.
What do the cool kids say? Do they say, like, he boards or he's a boarder?
I think he... Shreds, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But I'll bet you that's the anti-cool now. Saying you shred, you know it's like the worst line. Because if that was what you used to use 20 years ago, kids are not using it now. Anyway, we'll be indoors tonight because we got two guys who are playing tonight, two legacy moments tonight. Crosby with an opportunity to go to his fourth Stanley Cup final, chance to win his third cup. And the first
Just back up a bit. Do you put any stake in, like, getting to one? And
I think it means something.
Okay.
Don't you think four? He'll be going to his fourth. That's a big number.
You're right. It is.
And then LeBron's got a chance to go to his eighth and seventh in a row tonight. And I fully expect LeBron and the Cavs to win and do that. I'm not sure Pittsburgh's going to do it tonight. I'm leaning towards Pittsburgh, but I think it's closer to a coin flip.
Really? Based on what I've seen the last three games, unless Craig Anderson comes in and stands on his head. I mean,
he's done it before. He did it 2 days ago.
I know he did. The Ottawa Senators were dominated in game.
Oh, I hear you.
Dominated.
Okay.
It wasn't even close.
You don't think.
I got to listen to Guy Boucher talk about while we run and gun with him. What did he call game six? Sit back and get our brains beat in?
That's why, Craig, I don't like the term. I want to bore them to death because.
Well, you that's
boring. You're boring yourself to death, too, and you're not doing anything. Just go out there and get it. It's like,
totally agree with you. Craig Ramsey, my good friend, safe as death. And I mean, what does he call that?
But they played it safe all the way to Game 7 of a conference final.
They got dominated. Okay, if that's how you want to take your chances to win, I'm not taking my chances that way.
I hear you, Craig. But wins are wins.
Watch yourself, Craig. I'm hashtag all in with the Sens and their fans.
Yeah,
let's not be torching them.
I'm not saying they won't win. I'm not saying they can't win. I'm not saying that. Craig Anderson said, I just games 4, 5, and 6, completely unimpressed.
Yes,
with the Sens.
Absolutely. But they won one of them.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, and that's the point.
And the game they won is the game I was most unimpressed with.
Yet they said they want the exact same thing to play out.
Yeah,
they
want
to have
the
exact same game.
So they're going to give up 41 even shot strength. I mean, they never even threatened.
No,
you want to do that with the Pittsburgh Penguins and play like that and just sit. You're basically playing leapfrog with a unicorn. And sometimes it doesn't work out the way you want. Yeah.
Well, you know the Pens would sign up for the exact same game. They'll take that every day of the week and hope they can get a couple more past Craig Anderson. But Guy Boucher, his act, I think it's tiresome. I've heard it too much. I get it. I guess it's been effective to an extent. Like, I don't know what his reaction will be if they actually won a Stanley Cup. I don't even know. Would he get up to the mic at the Cup parade and say, we're only here because the other four teams we played somehow didn't play up to their capabilities, or we're the luckiest team in the world? He'd go Lou Gehrig on the whole thing. But I think there's – I mean, he's got a real opportunity of – this is a legacy moment for Guy Boucher.
For everybody involved and all the old veterans that they come out with this statement, you really have to take advantage of an opportunity, because if you're a young guy – I went to one final and didn't have a sniff after that. So there's some teams you don't have this opportunity very often, and you got to make the most of it, because you, the rest of your career will just drift by, and you don't even, like, you don't make the playoffs, and you're out in the first round, out in the second. It's tough to get there. You got to make it happen.
Well, how much does this Ottawa team remind you of the Flames in 04 and Edmonton in 06?
Carolina 02.
And there's a
of
theme.
Who in 06?
Edmonton in 06. I'm thinking the two Canadian miracle teams that went on runs and got there and ultimately didn't win in the end. Carolina, the same thing, got there, didn't win. I think there's some similarities. I mean, I think of that Calgary team, and Carlson's playing the role here with Ottawa. I mean, you would know them better than I would, Craig.
Yeah, Ginlin, those guys were really good. Kiprusoff was great.
Right. As for the Edmonton team, that was a weird year because it was post-cap and – you know, everyone was trying to figure out exactly how the game was being played, but we're moving things around today because we got Darcy Tucker coming up in the 5 p.m. hour. I'm going to ask Darcy how he feels about you supporting the Ottawa Senators going into Game 7.
That you would do that.
I'm going to ask him. Okay. I want to see what he has to say about it. I would think he's probably going to take issue with that.
You know what he's going to say. He hates them.
Darcy's one of the very unique guys. You know that with his Memorial Cup legacy, right? Mm-hmm. You know what that is, right?
He went to three, right?
He won three.
Right. That's pretty good.
Just ask him.
We will in about 55 minutes. So we moved Ray up, and here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray, what do you make of this conversation we're having? How would you compare this Ottawa team in 2017 to the Oilers team in 06 and the Flames team in 04?
More to the Oilers. Just the unbelievability of the Oilers getting all the way through that year. It just, you know, late in the year they made the deal for Dwayne Roloson. They didn't have a goalie, and Roley was outstanding in the playoffs. And, you know, Pronger played a million minutes in that thing. And Fernando Pisani went on this crazy run. And it just, all the pieces seemed to fit for them somehow. And for Ottawa, you know, I do 30 of their games a year. It seems like every time they're about ready to drive in the ditch, they straighten up. They get a couple of wins, things are back on course, and they go on a nice little run. And it's three or four times that's happened. And every time I have in my head that this is about it, they find another gear. They find a way to do it. And that's why I would compare them more so to that Oilers team. Craig pointed out the depth of Calgary in that round in that playoff year. And you know, I mean, Ginlin was still one of the top, or not still, he was one of the top forwards in the game, and Kiprusoff was, I mean, he was the Conn Smythe winner if Calgary wins, and just a little different with Ottawa, I would say.
Erik Karlsson has obviously been a focal point of the conversations over the past three rounds, and I think he's been very good, still very effective, but it kind of feels like tonight could be that game for him.
Where he does that, go all over the ice, give Brassard an open net, mm-hmm. fling a 85-foot sauce pass in the air to somebody.
It's been a couple of weeks since we saw one of those.
Yeah, he was literally the clear favorite for the Conn Smythe, and this, he's just been, it hasn't been vintage Erik Karlsson. He set a standard in the first two series that was so great, it's difficult to continue to do that, but tonight's an opportunity for him to get back on track with that.
It is, for sure. I wonder if he's, you know, held together with tape and string and glue and whatever else right now. He's been banged up for a long time, and going back to just prior to the end of the regular season. And eventually I can't help but think it takes a toll on him, but there's something about that guy that he's got an ability to dial something up that other people just can't. Even if everybody's trying to dial up the same thing, Carlson's got something that other people don't have. You're right. He could be a difference maker tonight. But I'll go back to when we won in '93. We were in Pittsburgh. They were the defending Cup champions. They'd won two in a row, and the formula was pretty simple. Really, was that the goalie had to be great. Glenn Healy was. I think he made over 40 saves that night for us. You had to get a goal from maybe a source you didn't really expect. We got two from David Volek that night. And when you're the underdog, you have to have something else go right for you, whatever it was. We had a goal from Benoit Hogue outside the blue line that Bourassa somehow funneled into the net. And so I think all of those things probably in some way, shape, or form have to happen for Ottawa. But they're so good at playing their system when they play it that maybe they don't have to be great tonight. They just have to be as solid as they were through most of these playoffs, but also as predictable as they are. An unpredictable game is not good for them. Unpredictability is bad. They need the game to be simple and straightforward. They need it to be they need to be in front. If they get in front, you can just imagine what the extra pressure starts to build on the Penguins, because there's none on Ottawa tonight. If they lose, everybody says, oh, what a great year. Wasn't that unexpected? Everything was super. If the Pittsburgh Penguins lose, they can point to their injury, sure, but they would also look, we were one game away from another chance at a cup. And that would, the pressure sits on their shoulders, not on the Senators.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's a huge opportunity for Pittsburgh to get closer to achieving something that no other team has in the Cup era. And if they win back-to-back Cups, no team has done that. Last team to do it was late 90s in Detroit. And I think this would be very beneficial for the league because, Owen and I, we had this conversation last week that the NHL has missed out on the legacy conversations that the NBA is currently having with LeBron. Everyone's looking at LeBron's legacy and how great is he? Is he going to catch Jordan? Is he even with Magic and Kobe, et cetera? You look in the NFL, the same thing has been applying with Brady over the past two or three years. Is he now the greatest player? And I think Sid and the NHL are in a tough spot because he's not going to be able to catch Gretzky. Like, Gretzky's just on a different level, and I would probably put Bobby Orr in that spot. But I was thinking about it today. You know, if we're considering rings, and I do think you have to bring the cap era into it because it's much more difficult to hold on to great players and to be consistently a quality team in the cap era. If Sid gets to a fourth cup final and wins a third, how close does he get to passing Lemieux in terms of all-time greatness?
Oh, I would think you'd have to – they'd at the very least have to be in step together. I mean, that to win multiple cups in this system, in this age, is almost an impossibility. You go back to the great dynasty teams, and those teams were together forever. Nobody could go anywhere. It was five cups in a row, four cups in a row for the Islanders and the Oilers and, the Canadians won the five. I don't know. I don't even know how we can even compare one era to the other and say that you would need the same number to win, to be considered the same. So I'm with you. If Sid's Penguins get to the finals and win a third time, I don't know how anybody could look past that. In this day and age, it is. Man, it's an impossibility. Nobody picked the Pittsburgh Penguins. Shouldn't say nobody. Very few picked them to win a second time in a row. And I think the reason they didn't is because, nobody does that anymore. Like, there was no real reason. They liked their team. They had everybody back. But the thought was, nobody does that anymore. And so here they are. They're one win away from a chance to do it again. And it's actually pretty incredible given the way their lineup is, the injuries they've had all year, and yet they found enough when they've needed it. And you'd think tonight that the one advantage they do have is the two big boys. And, you know, you might shut one of them down, but can you shut them both down?
Well, that's the truth. I think if Pittsburgh won the Cup, Malkin would probably get the Conn Smythe. And that would be his second one. He was the one that won the Conn Smythe in 2009. Mm-hmm. And just adds to his legacy, even though allegedly he's not a top 100 player of all time, according to the NHL. Though you were part of that vote, right? You had Malkin in your top 100, didn't you?
Yes, I absolutely did.
Yeah, I would hope
and
so.
And I don't know how, you know, however he didn't get added, my guess, this is, I don't know this, but this is my guess, is that, so there's, I forget how many people voting on this thing. You've got all this paperwork, and there's players from the early part of the century that are involved in this because it's the 100 greatest players of the 100 years. And there's no way to really quantify what those players did, but you're reading the notes and you're like, wow, this guy played 9 years. He was on the All-Star team 8 times. He won the scoring title 6 times. You're like, well, that's pretty amazing. And I think it's easier to poke holes in the players you see all the time than it is for somebody from that era. I'm sure there has to be, there's probably 10 players you could go through and go, oh, those 10 should be on, and now you got to pick 10 that shouldn't be on. But I really don't have can't even come up with a reason why Malkin would have been omitted, other than maybe some people put more weight on what they read than what they see.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, buddy, enjoy it. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll break down Game 7 and start looking ahead to a Cup final.
Yeah, I'm going on the ice in about 20 minutes.
For what?
Which, I'm just passing to Landon.
Oh.
And don't worry, there's not going to be much in the way of movement. But the last time I was out, he's like, wow, you are really terrible. Thanks, son. Appreciate that.
Do you think you're going to be any better this time?
Well, yeah, because now I've been on the ice once in the last 2 years. It's like a training camp. I'm sure this will be much better.
Yeah, you'll be flying out there. Sauces and the whole 9 yards.
He's just like, keep him out of my feet.
Yeah.
Miss him in front of me, would you? I'm like, I'm trying.
Don't break anything out here, please.
Yeah,
it's only May. I'm preparing for training camp. All right, buddy. Well, enjoy it out there. And if you can, take some video and send it in.
Oh, I will not take video of me passing. That will not happen.
All right. We'll get someone on the scene if we have to.
Yeah, send a load. He could come on assignment.
That's right. We could fly him out there. He's a flyer now, flying to Vancouver. We've got your weather, so why not? We'll send the O-Dog in.
I'll be flying out to Van next winter for a snowboarding weekend.
Oh, because you are a snowboarder. Yes, you are.
You got it, pal.
Two guys in 10 minutes. Calling you a snowboarder. He's the happiest he's been in weeks. All right, buddy.
Have a good one, boys. Later.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. I think Sid's got a chance at catching Lemieux. Like, when you think of the great players of all time, Gretzky and Orr sit there, then generally it's Lemieux is third. Isn't it? Like, if Sid gets 3 cups, Lemieux had 2. Sid mixes in another heart or two. I mean, at the end, he's got to be creeping closer to Lemieux, doesn't he?
You got to go to Lemieux's stat line.
They're outrageous numbers.
That's where...
Outrageous.
I always, from my personal experience, Gretzky was the best player, but Lemieux was the best talent I'd had ever seen in my life. It was just outrageous. The hands.
Oh, when he was on, it was over.
I always looked at him. I'm like, how could he not be getting yelled at by the coach by standing at the far blue line while the play is in his own zone? And someone would take a slap shot and he'd pick it out of the air with a stick and go down and score. I'm like, what the hell is that? It was ridiculous.
I'd love to see Guy Boucher try to coach Mario Lemieux in his prime. No, actually, we're going to do a 1-4. I need you to stand back here.
No. I'll do whatever I want.
No gi, as you might say.
Hashtag no gi.
Ross Atkins will join us. The Jays off today, but back home tomorrow for a 10-game homestand. At the back end of it, 4 games against the Yankees.
Maybe if we get a segment for the series tonight, Game 7, we'll do a quick yes gi, no gi.
Okay, let's do it. Ross Atkins coming up, GM of the Jays, on the return of Donaldson and Tulowitzki. And why does he remain so optimistic? You just said yesterday he's feeling okay about things.
I just got Taddy off our back. Ours is now Yeski, Nogi.
Exactly. You can't claim any problems with that.
That's our segment.
That's ours. Patent that.
Yes. Yeski,
Nogi. Ross Atkins next. Something about this 4:30 spot, no one wants to come on. Yesterday, Craig Cunningham was supposed to be on at 4:30. He had to push it back. He joined us at 5:30. We're supposed to have Ross Atkins on. He may end up calling in, but we might have to push that back to later in the afternoon, too. It's like 4:30 is just a poisonous spot for any guest.
We're doing everything Guy today, by the way.
Because of Guy Boucher and his whole act?
And even when we get Tux on, we're going to do, we got a Guy. We're everything Guy.
I love how we're circumvented.
No Guy, yes Guy.
Like we've circumvented any issues with Taddy because it's not yes guy, no guy anymore. It's yes Guy, no Guy.
Yeah, and we got a Guy.
All right, we may have a Guy in Ross Atkins who will either call it now or maybe later on.
Who knows?
I don't know.
We got a Guy. We don't know what time he's calling in.
Maybe we'll get to that Guy in 2 minutes. Sean tweeting in with an interesting suggestion. Instead of yes, Guy, no Guy, what about we, Guy, no Guy?
We, Guy to that.
Yes.
So we, Guy. We, Guy or non Guy?
Or non Guy. So it's just all front.
Non Guy.
We, Guy. All right, there you go. So Taddy can't say anything. We're like going totally French. Wiggy Nongi. We'll get to that later in the afternoon.
Nongi.
We believe Ross Atkins will join us in about an hour now. Darcy Tucker in about a half an hour.
We got a Guy.
Well, he's going to be down at the Memorial Cup. And they're going into the semifinals. And then I believe Windsor's waiting in the final at home. Playing a final at home, that would be a spectacular experience.
All the reports I'm getting from the Mem Cup, the Ontario teams are just
absolutely dominating.
Ass-whooping.
Erie is playing St. John's, I believe, and they beat them like 12-5 in the round robin. The coach came out today and said, we know we're not going to score 12 again. Thanks. Like, what? Is that supposed to be compelling for people? Or are we supposed to pay attention?
Probably going to be 8 or 9, but we ain't getting 12.
Yeah, we know we're not going to get a dozen goals on these guys again. Yeah, thanks, but 7 or 8, it seems realistic the way these Ontario teams have been playing. So Darcy Tucker will join us in about a half an hour. I was in a sticky spot last night. Some greaseball on Twitter outed me. I had a pocket like, and it was not, oof. It was a really salacious, like, R-rated like. It was one of those sex bots. You know how they're all over Twitter now?
It's a sex bot.
I'm sure you get them. They follow you.
Oh, they like you, and they... And
they like tweets from, like, 3 years ago, and you're like, who is that? And it's some, you know...
Some person saying, click my bio, I'm
right.
Sexy.
So I guess that popped up, and I happened to like a tweet, and it was a tweet, unseen photos of Melania Trump.
You liked it?
I accidentally liked it. But I guess now with Twitter, what you can do is you can follow what other people are doing, what they're retweeting, what they're liking, and what. So you got to be really careful. We've had this conversation before where you end up liking something, you didn't even know that you did it. It's like Stamkos. Remember when he liked that TSN article about him coming to the Maple Leafs? Instead, it's me, and I'm liking Melania Trump Twitter or pictures on Twitter.
I'll tell you what, I give people a one-off, but if you're liking multiple, it's like our boy Rambis. He liked a big booty, didn't he?
Yeah, Kurt Rambis, when he was the interim head coach with the Knicks, like day one on the job, he was just taking over for the final 4 or 5 games, not even. And immediately people said, okay, let's check out this guy's Twitter account. And he had like dozens of likes of
hotass.com and
it was
stuff.
All that kind of stuff. Any Twitter account that revolved around that certain area Rambis was on top of it and liking it. I'm with you. Give everyone a one-off. I guess I'm pleading for that myself because I liked something last night. It could have been a lot worse than unseen pictures of Melania Trump. Could have been a lot worse. But I'm not a serial liker of that kind of stuff. If I start going down that road, I would like to believe you would pull me aside and say, dude, you got to get your act together. You're getting sloppy on Twitter. We had Ray on earlier this hour, and I brought up the legacy stuff, and Dwayne emailing in saying, why does Hayes go on about the best player all the time? First of all, you can't compare different eras. Second of all, it's irrelevant. Hockey is a team game. So counting championships as if it means it's the best player of all time is nonsense. No. I don't know anybody that goes on about this kind of stuff.
You love having conversations. You haven't admitted it, but you privately do when the Quizmaster wheels around here and you guys get into it's a big part about what we do, discussing where people fit in the landscape of the best of all time or the best goal scorers, the best playmakers, the best defense. We have all kinds of lists.
Absolutely.
At our job, and that's what we do.
But who doesn't like doing that as a fan? Why is that
not
interesting?
That's insane.
It's fun content.
Yeah.
And it actually has some sort of a buildup into the game tonight. Crosby, yes, it's a team sport, but so is basketball. And I understand it's different. It's apples and oranges based on the importance of one player and the role that one player can have. But LeBron versus Jordan is like endless material. It's like the Subban trade in terms of what people can constantly talk about. And I think people find it interesting. I know I do. Same thing should apply, I think, in the NHL. I think the NHL would love that kind of material being floated out. And I've got another legacy item that I'll throw out there. If Pittsburgh wins the Cup again this year, do they pass Chicago as the best team post-cap? Best organization. Do they take over that dynasty?
They would almost have to, wouldn't they?
I think it's a lot more difficult to win back-to-back.
And just think of how much better. Remember those years where they still had the group together, but they couldn't get out of the first round, or Crosby was playing like crap. They couldn't get it done.
That's the one thing Chicago has going for it. They always ended up with like over 100 points. It seemed like they always went to the second or third round. But Pittsburgh, you got to remember, they were a dynasty before Chicago even came on the scene. They went to back-to-back cup finals before Chicago got to a cup final and won one. So if Pittsburgh wins their third, that's three cups over the course of 8 or 9 years, but you go to four cup finals. And winning back-to-back cups in the cap era, I think, is more difficult than winning three over the course of 6 years. They're both incredibly difficult. They're both very, very impressive. But just the turnover, the difficulty, the amount of games, the wear and tear, the injuries that you have to overcome, I think that could be at stake. I think it is at stake. I think if Pittsburgh wins again and wins back-to-back, they surpass Chicago as the best dynasty and the best franchise post-cap.
I'm down with that, and could easily happen that Chicago has a response as early as next year where they get back on top. Do I think it's going to happen? No.
Doesn't feel like Chicago. It feels like they need a couple more things to go their way. They got to find a couple of pieces, or, you know, Taves has to get back to being more of a dominant presence. I mean, I'm not going to write them off completely.
No.
You can't do that. Because remember, going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, they were red hot. Final 20 games, man, they were on fire. They took off. Minnesota was gone in that division, and before you knew it, Chicago beat them by like 7 or 8 points. So I'm not going to completely write off Chicago, but, and this might be recency bias, but who do I think has a better chance of winning a cup next year, Pittsburgh or Chicago? I think I'd go Pitt. I think Pitt would have a better chance of winning a Stanley Cup next year than Chicago.
I would totally agree with that.
And that says something about where both organizations are right now. I mean, that's the cream of the crop. Like, that's what Washington wants to be a part of, but they're just not.
They can't get there.
L.A. was a part of it, but they've fallen off so significantly over the past 2 or 3 years that they're not even a part of the conversation. I think that's what Pittsburgh's playing for here. Pittsburgh wins another cup. They're right there with Chicago. I would say passes them if they win back-to-back years.
I think you're... That's such a tough one. Does Sidney Crosby pass, or are you talking passing Lemieux?
Well, that was another conversation we had earlier in the hour. I think if he goes to a fourth cup final, wins three, He's up for the Hart this year. I don't think he'll win it. I don't think he'd get the Conn Smythe unless he goes legend tonight and legend in the Cup final, because I think Malkin would probably be in the driver's seat right now.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say he does. That's back-to-back Conn Smythes, back-to-back Cups. I think Lemieux did the same thing in the early 90s. But four Cup finals in total, including three Cups, what he's done at the Olympic level. I mean, there's a lot to consider there. I think at the very least the conversation would be had. And he's got more time to continue to add on. He's only 30. What if he goes to another Cup final or wins another one two, 3 years down the road or whatever it is? All of a sudden you look at Sid by the end of his career, five or six Cup finals, three or four rings, bunch of Hart trophies, couple Conn Smythes. Man, that's a mighty impressive resume. That's one that would be difficult to look past considering the era, because guys just don't score at the same pace that they used to. So it's difficult. Yeah, you look at Lemieux and you're like, look at the numbers the guys had. But
I think about Lemieux and dethroning him.
It's tough, but I think it would be in the best interest of the sport to have someone that can at least compete with the top three. Best interest of the sport to have someone currently playing that you can consider one of the GOATs, one of the all-time greats. And he's already there, but I'm talking breaking through, like top three, top four. Darcy Tucker in about 20 minutes. Ross Atkins around 5:30 on the return of Donaldson and Tulowitzki. It sounds like Happ is closing in on a return. Liriano is closing in as well. And Atkins came out yesterday, and he sounded very optimistic about them getting back into this and pursuing a third straight playoff berth. So we'll ask him, why is he so optimistic? What does he expect out of Donaldson and Tulowitzki? What's the latest on Sanchez? And Kevin Pillar playing his first home game tomorrow night since that incident down in Atlanta. So we'll get into that and more coming up throughout the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.
I'm really looking forward to Wiggy Nongi.
Do we do it with Tucker? Will he get the whole thing? I think we do it on our own.
Yeah. We got to come up with some Wiggy Nongis. Going back to game seven tonight. And it's two options.
Wiggy Nongi.
Yeah.
I got a few. You see that LeVar Ball is now selling that T-shirt, Stay in Yo Lane. Remember when he said that on Cowherd's show last week? Stay in your lane. It became this big story about what he had to say and how disrespectful it was. And
he's
charged him for $60 a pop. I got to be honest, though. I would buy that shirt. I wouldn't buy it from him, but I would wear a shirt that says Stay in Your Lane. Wouldn't you?
Stay in Yo Lane?
Stay in Yo Lane.
I'm just not a fan of what's going on with this guy. He hasn't played a game in the NBA. Dad's a lunatic. I mean, come on. Have an idea.
Well, LeVar Ball will never play a game in the NBA. Lonzo will, but I read this morning Lonzo's not even going to work out for the Celtics.
Or whatever. The whole situation.
Right, but like Celtics have the first pick overall, and Lonzo's not going to work out for him because he wants to go to the Lakers. Can you imagine that? Like, the team with the first pick is like, can we meet? And it's the Boston Celtics, the epitome of an NBA franchise. Yes. Finished first in the East. This is not some donkey team that's done nothing for a long time.
Not the Pelicans.
Exactly. It's not even the Sixers, who have a rich history but have been a joke for years. The Boston Celtics, no guy. Nongi.
Nongi.
But would I wear a Stay in Your Lane shirt?
Wiggy?
Wiggy.
I'm not sure, man.
Darcy Tucker's going to be down at the Memorial Cup this weekend, so we're going to catch up with him, get an update on what he's doing down there, talk about his illustrious career out in the WHL, three straight Memorial Cups. That Kamloops team, they have to be the greatest junior team of all time, wouldn't they have
to
be?
No kidding.
And Ross Atkins, GM of the Jays, expected to join us around 5:30. Bob McKenzie in studio later in the afternoon. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.